Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am fuming right now, Casey.
No need.
I'm here with Casey Bubba. We recorded an hour yesterday. I'm going to peel the curtain back just a little tiny itty bitty bit. We recorded an hour of this show yesterday, and I went to load it up to edit it. All screwed up. My recording equipment completely messed it up. I found the answer, I think. Hopefully people are actually going to hear this. It's been recording correct. We've been talking for a half hour here to make sure that everything is right. And it looks like everything is okay now. But Bubba, people don't want to hear about this. Are you ready to do an hour of all brand new stuff that we've never talked about before?
Heck yeah, I can't wait to talk about Aaron Hernandez documentary again.
Well, I tell you what, that never does get old, right?
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
No, it does not. And we are going to talk about the Aaron Hernandez documentary. We are going to talk about a little Twitter storm that Casey may or may not have been the instigator of. Would you say you started the fire on that one?
I'd say, yeah, I guess you could say I started the fire, but someone brought the storm. So right, I'll just go that way with it. Yeah.
You were the spark. You were like, yes, the spark, but you weren't the main flame in there for sure. So
yes, I was not the flamer.
Right, right. So we've got a lot to talk about here. But the first thing we got to start with is AFC NFC Championship, Bubba. I mean, these games were pretty good, even with the stomping that the Niners had. But let's just start out with the Chiefs game. The Chiefs with a big win going to the Super Bowl for the first time since Super Bowl IV. They went 35-24 over the Titans. What did you see in that game?
I saw a game where the Titans looked very strong. They looked like they had a great chance to win this game. And then Kansas City things, or I should say Patrick Mahomes things. Next thing you know, Tennessee goes away from the running game, which is they should never have done. I don't care if down 20 points, you keep pounding the rock as long as you can. They didn't like the whole second half. And Mahomes just took control, and Kelsey didn't have to do anything. It was a heck of a game for Kansas City, and that defense is very, very strong.
Now, the big turning point in this game, and, you know, forgive me if you've heard this before, because I know you have, but it was that Patrick Mahomes run. It was a 27-yard touchdown run for him where it looked like he was getting sacked at least two or three times during that play. I remember I was yelling at him, I'm like, throw the ball away, you idiot. Throw it away. And then here he goes. I'm like, oh, he's going to get the first down. And then, oh, wow. You know, it was one of those plays. Right. You could totally see your vinegar strokes when you're doing that play, right?
That's my fantasy football team name in my home league, by the way.
The vinegar strokes?
Yeah, because I tell them every time I play whoever that week, they're going to see my vinegar strokes.
Mine is Orenthal McSlicy Neck.
Outstanding.
Do you like that one?
That's good, too.
Well, the Welsh and I actually talked about it in the first 2 hours. Do you remember that game Blitz?
Yes, the game where you could literally like kill people almost.
Right, right. But they had like a prison version of that game for a year. And we were going over the names of some of the players. It was like Mike Mexico instead of Ronald Mexico. Yeah. And I know it was like, or it wasn't Orenthal McSlicy Neck, of course, but it was like Orenthal McRunaway or something. Like it was something who you knew who the running back number 32 was in the prison team. So, but it just small.
What would they call Aaron Hernandez in that game?
Yeah, that's what I asked the Welsh. So, didn't have a good response. I can't remember what it was. So, I mean, I have ideas, but I can't say them on the show. So,
the real tight end.
Yeah, it's something.
I'll stop. This is what happens when we record a second hour. I'm just warning people.
But you had Tennessee and the under in this game. Neither one of them hit, of course, because Kansas City came all the way back. You did. You had the under on Patty Mahomes passing yards. I set it at 325. He was at 294. Travis Kelce catches. You had the under 6.5, and he only wound up with 3. So, Derrick Henry and the Titans. If you're the Titans, who do you franchise between Tannehill and Henry?
You franchise Tannehill and you pay Henry. That's the way I would do it, because make Tannehill prove it a second year. I know running backs only have such a certain amount of shelf life, but we don't see many running backs that are like Derrick Henry, that's like 7 feet tall and runs a 4.4 40. You pay that man.
What about Frank Clark with all of his smack talking before and after the game in this one? Because he said Derrick Henry is not that hard to tackle because he runs upright. They did win, but I mean, come on, man. Like, you know, Derrick Henry's still hard to tackle.
Yeah, Derrick Henry had, I think, felt like 50 yards in the first quarter. It's not his fault they went away from the run the entire second half of the football game. Pretty sure if they would have kept running the ball, yeah, he would have got 150 pretty freaking easily. And then where would Frank Clark be now? Let's see, you know, let's get Frank Clark to play for the Jags or the Titans that have to, or the Colts that have to face him twice a year, and tell me how hard he is to tackle.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was a little ridiculous. He also is calling the Chiefs the best defense in the NFL right now. Like, I get it. You want to go in with confidence for sure, especially into the Super Bowl. But come on, man. Like, you are clearly not the best defense in the NFL right now.
No, they're much improved. I'll give them that. We talked about that week in and week out. We saw a turning point where all of a sudden the Honey Badger reminded us of the LSU Honey Badger, and so on and so forth. But, you know, outside of us making fun of a 40-yard dash from the combine a couple weeks ago, there's not much. You know, the defense is good, but let's calm down a little bit.
Right, exactly. So it was an interesting game. Obviously, Kansas City holding up the Lamar Hunt Trophy. I don't even know if it was the Lamar Hunt Trophy yet when they had last gone to the Super Bowl. So
I don't think so. Wasn't it Super Bowl I?
It was Super Bowl IV.
They
beat the Vikings in that Super Bowl. So
that's right.
They had lost Super Bowl I to the Packers, of course. But so it was a good game and a great team. And, you know, the Chiefs are, of course, favored in this game. But it's, you know, it's because Patrick Mahomes is in it and he's in a million commercials. And, you know, the Niners are relatively unknown, but they did stomp the Packers in this game. So was it just super satisfying to see Aaron Rodgers take the L in this one?
No, not like you guys. I do like Aaron Rodgers. I like the Packers. They're not my favorite team by any means, but I got a lot of buddies in Wisconsin that are diehard Packers fans, and I'm on like some text threads with a bunch of Niners and Packer buddies, That was a very quiet chat room. It was respectful.
Well, that's nice.
It was very, very quiet. I wanted the Niners to win. I was happy they won. They dominated the football game. Games were won in the trenches, especially playoff games, and the Niners dominated both sides of the ball in the trenches. They were outstanding. We said it going into last week's game. Their defense was finally healthy. Watch out. And they have just taken control of the Vikings and the Packers. Maybe it's an NFC North just sucks thing. I don't know. But the Niners have just been pure domination, and they've just run it down these teams' throats in the postseason. It's going to be real fun to see how these teams mix it up in Miami. But talking about this NFC title game, the Niners just, they looked way, way better than Green Bay. Green Bay was kind of the fraud that we all thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you and I had mentioned repeatedly on this show is, yes, the Packers are 13-3, but also they might be the most disappointing, or I guess quiet, not disappointing, because it's never disappointing when you go 13-3, but the most quiet 13-3 team we'd ever seen, right?
The most unimpressive 13-3 team ever.
That's a better way to describe it, I think. Now, I tell you what, going into the Super Bowl, we're going to break it down way more next week, but going into the Super Bowl, do you feel like Welsh's biggest fear is Tyreek Hill and Richard Sherman. Obviously, they're going to play a lot of zone so he doesn't get beat over the top because he got smoked by Davante Adams. And while Davante Adams is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, there's no doubt about that. He's just not nearly as fast as Tyreek Hill. So are you worried about that type of a matchup?
No, not so much because, I think this Niners coaching staff and we've seen their defense all year is super talented, and you give any team 2 weeks to prepare on both sides of the ball, you're going to see ways to take away the top players and make other guys beat you, make DeMarcus Robinson beat us, make Sammy Watkins beat us. I'm not saying Tyreek's not going to have a big game. He's too good not to be, you know, get a play here and there, but you're not going to see like Saints games where they're not double teaming or triple teaming Michael Thomas. I'm pretty sure between Kelsey and Hill, at least one on every play is going to be double teamed, and it won't just be one the whole game. They'll be moving coverage around. So
yeah,
I think they're going to find a way to try to limit the damage.
What did you think about the initial line coming out here? It's the Chiefs by 1.5.
I thought that was – it's probably fair because a lot of lines are made because of, A, what they think is going to happen, and, B, where do they think people are going to get more money. And people are going to love Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. I get it. Like, that's where the money is going to go. If I'm betting this game, I'm waiting because I think the line goes up because more Chiefs money comes in. Or it doesn't move at all. Either way, I want the Niners. I got the Niners winning this game. And we'll talk about it more next week. But I like the way the Niners defense plays. I like the way they can run the football. And if they have to throw it, they can. I think they're the more complete football team. Nothing against the Chiefs. I think it's going to be a great football game. This reminds me of a game that might come down to a field goal at the end. And then you got Robbie Gould versus – I can't remember who's on the Chiefs. But that's kind of ugly thought process. But it's going to be a very good football game.
I think it's Butker, isn't it?
Yes, there it is. I was going to say Netker, but Butker is the correct one.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, you know, just looking over the offense, it's total yards. You got 4th versus 6th, and that is the Niners over the Chiefs. When you have, you look at points, 2nd versus 5th, once again, Niners over the Chiefs. Defense, total yards, 2nd versus 17th in the Niners' favor. Passing yards, 1st versus 8th in the Niners' favor. Rushing yards, 17th versus 26th in the Niners' favor. And points is 8th versus 7th in the Chiefs' favor, actually. So interesting when you just dive into the numbers here. And Welsh and I looked at that. We took a look at how the biggest bettors, the people that have won the big tournaments of this season have been betting. And it's all been in the Niners' favor here. So hold on.
And the line's not moving, like I said. So if it's not moving, I like that a lot.
My cat got up here. You're not going to ruin another recording, Captain. Stay on the ground, Captain, buddy. Good Lord.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
You are staying on the floor today. No more ruining stuff. We love our animals, but not while we're recording stuff.
Yes.
The Pro Bowl. I mean, Welsh and I talked about
Captain, it. Come back, Captain. We're talking about the Pro Bowl.
The Pro Bowl is a mess. I mean, there's no point to this game. Welsh and I were talking about it, like, put it behind. To be honest, I think it would probably have better ratings if they went ahead and put it behind the Super Bowl, because it's like, okay, well, yeah, we got to watch the Super Bowl, but this is the very last bit of football. I mean, I guess, like I was saying with the Welsh, we got the XFL coming, but does that even really count? I don't think it does. So, I mean, what would – I'm giving KC Bubba at BDNtrick on the Twitter. I'm giving you the reins to the Pro Bowl. How do you fix it?
First, I agree. I'd like to see it back to the old days, or as the weekend after the Super Bowl. Give us, like, one more grasp of hope, because, like, right now, I didn't even know it was in Orlando this year.
Neither did I.
I heard that today. I thought it was back in Hawaii.
Yeah, so, I thought it was in Hawaii too. And Welsh like looked it up. He's like, nope, they are in Orlando. You are wrong.
I literally heard that on my drive home today from a meeting. Like, I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay, there's that. So that just shows you how much it doesn't matter. Like we said before, is I used to actually watch the game. I thought it was fun. But for now, it's more like a degenerate thing. It's like because for some reason you decided to take the over or under. Some reason you're playing DFS, and I've changed my tone since we talked last time. I get it from a tournament aspect. Do not play cash games on this, but tournament wise, I get it. But what I would change, I'd like to see this more skills stuff. I don't want to see these guys getting hit out there because A, they don't want to get hit. B, they don't. There's so many missed tackles, so it looks like bad football to begin with.
It's not a real game. It's just not.
I'd rather them play like a flag football game or something like.
I think the dodgeball like thing is more exciting than the Pro Bowl. 100%.
That'd be awesome. Like skills challenges. There's a lot of different ways to do it where we could have more fun because these guys don't want to be there more than maybe just an extra vacation. That's all right. It is to them. So you watch them practice and stuff. They're not doing a darn thing.
Right.
So
right.
Like, if Andy Reid can't be there in a Hawaiian shirt, I don't want to watch the Pro Bowl.
Well, Andy Reid will be at the Super Bowl. And everyone, I love all of the memes. But yes. One of the best ones, of course, is Andy Reid. And it's that face when you're one win away from getting that fast food buffet at the White House, right? Which sport did Trump do that for? Was that
football?
Was it for college football?
I thought it was college football.
Yeah,
way
that
too
sounds
much
right.
Food for basketball.
Yeah,
well, it was Clemson. Yeah. It was Clemson football.
I think you're right. If I'm thinking about it, but yeah, it was all McDonald's and KFC, and
it was like four different brands. That was the best part.
Hey, you know what? I ain't gonna knock it. I'll say that.
There's a reason the unemployment rate's up. He's helping them all out.
That's right.
Or down, whichever way it goes, in the good, positive way.
Yeah, but, yeah. No politics.
Not in the show. But last thing I will say about Andy Reid, I think the best part about him being in a Super Bowl in Miami, we get 7 days or so of him in different cool outfits. And if he doesn't have a Kool-Aid Man Hawaiian shirt on, he's doing it wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some type of sponsorship. And I think that, you know, looking at him, I think he's lost a little weight since the last time they were at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he needs to be careful, though. If you go to Rex Ryan weight loss program, you know how bad that turns out. All you do is eat feet and not food anymore. That's not good.
That foot video is it might be the creepiest thing on the internet. And I've watched
Mindhunter. Watch a lot of creepy things.
Yeah, I've watched Mindhunter and serial killer documentaries and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what gives me the creeps more. I think it is Rex Ryan and his foot worshiping. But on that note, on that toe, we're going to hit a break here.
It was a big toe.
We'll be back. We're going to dip our toe in the water like Wes Welker. We'll be right back after this break. Stick with us. We're going to talk about the fire that Bubba set ablaze in fantasy baseball. We'll be right back.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back. It's segment two, hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Boggan. You can find me on the Twitter at Boggan Sports. I'm here with my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick. You're going to be coming into town next week, Casey. I'm excited,
yeah.
Man.
You're excited. I'm excited. I don't know if the plane can handle me.
That's right. It's you're coming in mainly for golfing, right? Am I incorrect in that?
I'm going to a work meeting, and then one of the days they're taking me to the waste management tournament. I will not be picking up a club of my own, no.
Is the waste management tournament, is that an embarrassing name for a golf tournament, or is that okay?
I could see where it's embarrassing, but it's kind of funny, especially when it's the rowdiest tournament of the year. So it's kind of ironic that like it's named after a trash.
The crowd, yeah, because the crowd is itself trash. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just mean because for golf enthusiasts who like everything quiet and not fun, they probably think it's trashy. For me, I like playing with music loud. Guys can be talking. I said, as long as you guys don't yell in the back, in the middle of my backswing, you guys can do whatever the heck you want. I'm just like to have fun in golf, where there's like the hardcore guys, you know, where they're plaid pants and have a big rear end, like they say on Happy Gilmore. So, yeah.
Come on, let's get a little noise going here. Excuse me, people. Exactly. This is golf. Shooter McGavin. Yeah, I love that movie. I need you to plug everything that you can possibly plug here. This is plug away time. Obviously, Bench with Bubba is your flagship. That's the biggest podcast you got going. That's the one you want everyone going to. But what else do you have?
Okay, let's take up hour two or segment two. We'll see you in segment three. But Bench with Bubba, two episodes every week, maybe a third thrown in here and there. But fantasy baseball, nonstop on that one. I got the Fantrax DFS show kind of on hold right now because we're in between seasons, but ramping up some ideas for the baseball season there. I'll have MLB DFS Quick Hits Monday through Friday for that. I have the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast every Monday night. I have Around the Base with Bubba and Mo. I have Fantasy Sports DGens, come check that out. And I'm going to be writing for Roto Baller as well this baseball season. Nice. So come check all that out. First article drops on Saturday. So when you're listening to this, it'll be out. It's about Marcell Ozuna going to the Braves and the fantasy baseball impact of that.
Nice. And of course, get your fantasy baseball black book out right now.
So many things. So many things. Yes, black. Go to the black book. It's there's 9 or 10 of us awesome writers. 10th edition of the baseball version. I did catchers and relief pitchers. So many smart people, smarter than me in there. But I tell people it sounds sappy, so I don't try to talk about it too much, but it meant a lot to me to be asked to do that. Please check it out. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the Black Book is going to help you out. You know, it's a great source. I should know because I wrote half of the football book last year, not even on purpose. So I did 30-whatever pages. And it's because Joe didn't put a cap on me. He was like, look, man, you just write what you think you would want to hear if you were you would want to read if you were buying this. So I did, and maybe it was a little bit too much. I think I'm going to ratchet it back this year to, you know, maybe just 25 pages, somewhere in that neighborhood.
When are you starting up? Because I know that gets released, I think, April 1st or something, maybe March 1st.
No, it's not quite that early, the football book.
It feels that way.
Well, it has to go after the draft. So, you know, the draft is in late April, so it'll be after that. I think it comes out like middle of May or June 1st, maybe. I can't remember, to be honest with you. 2019 to me is a blur, right? It went so fast, especially doing that time of year, because we've got baseball firing up and we have the draft going. So I'm just full wheel spinning mode. And that's pretty much starting right now. Before we started recording this podcast, I was doing all kinds of notes for my first NFL Draft War Room show. That'll be on our football. If you just go to In This League football on any of your podcast providers, it'll be on that same feed.
You gotta listen to that, guys. Boggs, this isn't just because I'm recording with the man. He college football guru. I love watching college football. I don't do a lot of draft prep, but you know your stuff, my friend. And I'd highly recommend that from what I saw in the Black Book last year. And what I was gonna ask you in relation to that, how much do you look forward to stuff like the Senior Bowl and the Shriners Bowl?
So the Shrine game, I'm just a little behind right now. So I have the Shrine game recorded, watched a little bit of it, and I have the Collegiate Bowl, which is the one after that, with a couple of lower tiered prospects recorded too. And then the Senior Bowl I'm going to watch live today, of course, as you're listening to this when this comes out. So but I'm in the process of making up my notes, and that's kind of where it starts, is after the Senior Bowl. I'll come out with my first show. We'll talk about the guys who were rising. Then I start digging really deep into tape and film and stuff, and seeing just who I like the most. And then the combine comes here. And it's funny because as a draft person, I should love the combine, right? I should really like it. But it's kind of boring. You know, it's a bunch of grown men running around in their underwear. That's why they call it the Underwear Olympics.
And we don't need that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, people didn't like DK Metcalf last year because, you know, at 6'4", he ran a 4.3 40, but his three-cone drill was bad. So they're like, I don't know about his agility, and he went out there and eliminated the Eagles in the playoffs almost single-handedly. I mean, obviously, Russell Wilson was throwing dimes to him, but he was high-pointing the ball, looking fantastic. So, you know, what...
Outside of the lingerie league, though, no one plays in their underwear. So right. I don't even know why we're testing them in this.
Yeah, you know, straight line speed, I like that, you know, for wide receivers and corners. But nobody cares what an offensive lineman is going to run a 40 with, right? And that's why
don't shuttle or anything from them.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to too much of those. Like if a guy has an exceedingly awesome score in whatever it is, a vertical, a three cone drill or something, I'll take notice of that. But even if they're really bad, it's just not something that I really care about that much. And there'll be, you know, someone will post the analytics going way deep into it that, you know, all the guys past the third round that didn't score X on the three cone drill were losers, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like there's always some type of number like that, but then there's always someone breaking the mold. Of course, and let's not forget Tom Brady, 6th round draft pick. So
are you a big hands person?
No. Well, first of all, no, physically, because I'm short and I have tiny little hands. And I don't really care. Like the drops and fumbles to me, being a fantasy nerd, I don't care about drops unless guys start losing playing time because of it. Right. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to have a drop here and there. It just happens. Now, there are guys, I mean, you know, Eric Ebron for the first couple years of his career was plagued with drop problems. But even then, he wasn't losing playing time. He was just, you know, in a tough situation in Detroit where they didn't utilize the tight end as much. That's why I kind of had a little fear of Hockenson in this draft going to Detroit, just because it's not something that Stafford had really. He never had a tool at the tight end position as good as Hockenson. But Hockenson was great from the jump. So obviously faded off in the second half because he was banged up. But there are so many good wide receiver prospects in this draft. It is it's going to be unbelievably deep. I mean, a guy like Van Jefferson is making noise in big senior time. Bowl practices right now. And, you know, he was kind of like a middle of the pack. So some of these guys are going to I think the combine is going to be bigger for them this season because they're going to separate themselves because there's so much talent at that position this year. So it's going to be a year where we see great 40s because wide receivers are going to have to run to, you know, separate themselves from the pack. So, you know, but the process is long and arduous and all that stuff. I don't particularly enjoy that stuff, but I do like going back and watching the film. I'm like, if you talk about pre-draft process versus film, I'm more of a 75% film guy and a 25% pre-draft process guy. That's kind of how I'd break it down. What I see, I'm not going to let, you know, combine numbers influence my rankings that much. So, but anyway, what about this Aaron Hernandez, Doc Bubba? I mean, we've already talked about it once, but I guess just your initial impressions of this, because there is a lot to unravel here.
Initial impressions. Okay. There were a few things I learned that I did not know. I will be honest about that. I think it's pretty odd that they try to blame his sexuality on the situation. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your sexuality is. It does not make you a murderer. Just gonna throw that out there. It was weird that he grew up in probably one of the better places to ever grow up in the country. And so the upbringing wasn't bad, maybe outside of his father being a little tough on him and abusive to his mother. But the overall, like where you grew up, he didn't grow up in the mean streets.
Right.
Somewhere. It's just a weird thing. We've been on a back and forth on a bunch of things, just the way in Florida, the Patriots, a lot of little things, the way he acted. Like I almost feel like he had split personality disorder or something.
He was definitely a different person. Like you could tell that vernacular.
All the phone calls was different to each person.
I mean, how could like the Smith and Wesson joke? Like, are you serious, dude? Like,
yeah.
Everybody knows you murdered these people, right? It's not really a question. He did it. Like, at least the very first one he did, you know. You could blame the other dude that he literally, and spoiler alert, if you want to watch this thing, he literally shot his friend in the face.
Yeah, he tried to kill his friend, but he wasn't good enough at that, so he didn't finish him off. And that's what came back to haunt him, that and his stupid cameras.
It's his version of a drop.
His cameras are because he shot the guy in the face and didn't kill him. Like, this whole thing, I'm not going to say, you know, you should have finished the job, but if you finish the job, a lot of this doesn't happen.
Yeah. What is it? Measure twice, cut once, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And the guy, you might be wondering, like, well, why didn't he go to jail for almost killing that guy? It's because this guy was like the leader of some gang or drug ring or something. And this guy didn't prosecute because he wants revenge on Aaron Hernandez. And then Aaron Hernandez started buying, armored cars, and he had the security system that basically caught him doing this stuff. Is he installed because he was afraid of this guy coming after him? He even went to the Patriots and said, "Hey, I've been getting involved in some things I probably shouldn't have. Can you please trade me across the country?" And, you know, Bill Belichick, he doesn't know. You know, I know people wanted to blame him. Like, it probably wasn't very good of the Patriots to buy him the apartment, or have the person, whoever the lady is, get him an apartment away from his house that was basically, what was it? It's basically a weed den for him, right?
Yeah, basically it's a skunk house is what the neighbor called it. It was a skunk house. He shows up with a hoodie on, doesn't want to be seen, and it reeks of skunk coming out of the house. Yes, that's what it was.
And this lady, you know, she doesn't watch sports. She has no idea who he is until he's on the news going to jail.
On trial, they saw, he's like, oh, that's my old neighbor.
That was my old neighbor who always smelled like skunks whenever he came out of his apartment. So yeah, it was illuminating. What about the people, right? People that they interviewed, like, look, Ryan O'Callaghan was fantastic. The old guard for the Patriots, who had retired, and they went through the struggles of being a gay athlete in the NFL with him. And I thought it was very illuminating and eye opening. And, you know, he went through some real dark times that he talked about in there. But the other people, like his Aaron Hernandez's high school boyfriend, I guess it is, you know, that guy and his dad really wanted to be on television, I think, right?
Real bad, especially his dad at the very end when, you know, the reports come out that Hernandez was gay after he died, and the guy goes, he hides it because he feels bad, but that was Aaron's first partner in high school. And then he tells his dad, and his dad's tune completely changed on the whole situation. It was just bizarre as all get up. It was a lot of the guys. I think the best people that were on the show was the lineman from New England, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the kind of gangbanger guy that was Odin Lloyd's buddy from the semi-pro football.
Yeah,
team.
Yeah.
That guy was awesome because he spent a lot of truth in that one. A lot of truth.
Like, he did. He called Hernandez a wannabe gangster. He said, you know, we grew up around real gangsters, and my boy was killed by a wannabe gangster.
Can't be on both sides of the fence, and he wanted to be. Oh, it was good. Like, that was some of the more truth, I think, in the whole thing.
Right. And the guy's dad, the high school boyfriend's dad.
The grunter?
Yeah.
Oh God! I'm stopping.
I feel like that is going to be used on so many podcasts from now on and radio shows. That guy. Did you ever see the show Dinosaurs?
Yeah, way back in the day. It's like it was a kind of a kid show, sort of like on.
Yes. TGIF? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was on. Yeah, I mean, I can't remember what channel it was on. It was on, like, you know, a UPN or something, or whatever UPN was before it was UPN, something like that. But I want you to Google Dinosaur's dad, and then that guy. I can't remember his name, and I want you to just look at him because he looks like the dad from Dinosaurs to me. So I think it's just because they both have kind of bulging eyes, like this guy's eyes were gigantic. So I don't know. Like, every time I watched him, I thought of, you know, not the mama. Remember the little baby?
Not the mama. Not the mama.
Not the mama. Not the mama.
Now we're going down a rabbit hole again.
We're definitely going down a rabbit hole, but it was a crazy documentary, and I didn't follow any of the stuff that had happened while it was happening, because we'd already kind of gone down that rabbit hole, right? We had already kind of seen it, an OJ trial and Ray Carruth and all these other guys.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, like, he didn't do it, but he got away with it. Carruth goes to jail. OJ was after his career. Like, that was probably one of the other parts is Hernandez kills two people, goes and plays football for a year, gets a new 5-year, $40 million contract, all while being a murderer already. And it's like not phasing him in the least. That was weird because, yeah, it's just like, OK, big time athlete. He's going to get off, whatever. And then he gets convicted and you're just like, oh, wait a minute. This just got interesting.
Oh, he did that. But, yes.
But like, I remember some of it, but there were definitely parts where like the whole way he killed Odin and some of the other things. A, the dude can't cover up anything to save his life.
Oh, like, my God.
Like, even if the dog ate his homework in school, he probably couldn't have hid that very well. It was so bad the way he hit it. Like, it was the fact that it wasn't easier to convict him was horrible.
Right. 100%. I'm with you on that. And it's like, you know, I think one of the cops was like, you know, the neighborhood he was living in is unbelievably affluent. There's no murderers living in there. He's not living in the hood. He's living in rich people areas. So who else would it have been, right? When all the evidence adds up.
It's like having the Coneheads live in your neighborhood. We know who you are. So you stand out.
And sometimes I feel I've got to. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. This is a fun second record here for sure. Yes. But I promise we are going to go to break here. But when we come back, we will 100% be talking about the fire that Casey Bubba started in the fantasy baseball world. So stick around for that in the last segment of In This League on the Sports Grid. We will be right back.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends with the
In this league.
In the dark.
Endless love. You guys know what that means. It is the last segment of the show of In This League on the Sports Grid. You can follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at Is It the Welsh, at BD Entrick for Bubba. Bubba, you set the fantasy baseball world ablaze on Twitter. I didn't even see it because, like the Welsh likes to say, I am not on Twitter enough, of course, but he told me about it, and then I went back and I looked, and I can't find your tweet because you tweet so much. But can you basically say the gist, or if you remember the tweet, tell us what it was?
So basically it says, I know this is going to ruffle some feathers, but I just want to say that there are many great fantasy baseball players that don't only play in the NFBC.
Yeah, and the people that are NFBC stands were very upset with this. I think a lot of people were agreeing with you too, because I mean, I agree with you because, you know, look, I'm not the best, obviously. I'm pretty good at fantasy baseball, but I can't even play in the NFBC. The only thing I can do is a fantasy baseball invitational that that Justin Mason puts on, because my state doesn't allow me to play DFS contest, and that's considered a DFS contest or a sports gambling or however you want to say it. My oppressive state of Arizona doesn't want to let us have any fun in that regard. So I can't even play except for in that tournament on NFBC. I still love looking at the ADPs and stuff, but it's not I think smart players play on NFBC, but it's just not exclusive. And some people think that they're better than other people because they play in the NFBC. And that's what you took issue with, correct?
Yes. And the way you said that, so you've kind of seen or feel the same way, correct?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Okay, good. Because that's kind of my narrative. It was nothing against the NFBC. And I had to clarify that because I have really good friends. Matt Modica, Vlad Sedler, a lot of these guys are phenomenal NFBC players. Like, super good. And the guys that run it are super nice guys. And the format's fun. It's a different format a little bit, but tons of fun. My thing was is that not everybody can A, play it, can afford to play it, or just don't play it, period, because they play in their other leagues. They don't want a bunch of like spread out all over the place. It had nothing to do with the format. And then a couple people decided to have some fun with it and run with it. And in basically me poking the bear ended up with the bear taking all the honey.
Right, and right. I mean, someone wrote an article about this, right?
I wrote an article on Fangraphs, and I know our buddy Spore wasn't happy with it and some others. I don't know who made the decision, but it was taken down at one point in time.
Wow. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, I didn't know it because I went to read it. Someone said, hey, you know, someone's using your tweet in their article on Fangraphs. Like, they put my tweet in their article, and I was like, oh, interesting. Let me check it out. And it was already pulled down.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. We'll have to talk off air about that, but that's nuts. I didn't know it got that far. I just thought some people were upset because they obviously, I think the people that were upset obviously hold the opinion, you would think, that if you play in the NFBC is the only place to go for smart players. And look, there's a difference between, you know what this makes me think of? And I know you love my movie references, so
yes.
You'll appreciate this one. In Rounders, you remember when Matt Damon is talking to John Turturro, and he said, "You're just grinding it out here. You never make a play." And he's like, "You arrogant little F." He's like, "I'm doing this to pay child support and put food on my table." There are people that do this and are good enough to do that, to make a living doing it. And I think the NFBC is a great place to do that if you are a ringer, right? And you know, back in the day when the DFS stuff was going down, and John Oliver had a big thing about it on his show, that the best poker players in the world have gone over to the DFS world. So it's almost the same realm here. There are people that are good enough to do it, but for me, I don't make that much money. For me, fantasy sports has been first about fun. Right. It's about
100%.
Hanging out with your buddies, doing the draft, talking some S. That's why I like head to head way more than I like Roto, because I get to see who I'm playing that week. And, you know, if it's the Welsh, I get to talk some S to the Welsh. If it's my buddy Will, I get to talk some S to him. If it's Casey Bubba, I get to talk some S to him. You know, like you said, you're in the very first segment of this hour. You named your team Vinegar Strokes because you are going to dominate your other team, your buddy, and they're going to see your Vinegar Strokes, right?
Yep, exactly. That's fantasy baseball, fantasy football, fantasy sports are all about fun. Now, if you can turn it into money, that is phenomenal. More power to you. Like, I would love to be able to play. And I'm not just talking about the main event, which is $1,700 to get into. There's like online championships that are $350. There's these draft and hold people are doing like $150. Like, that's fine if you can afford it. I am not against you doing it. But let's just be real about this. There's probably a good 70% of the listeners of this show and my show and other shows, at least, that aren't playing those.
Right, right. And look, you know, however you do it, it's fine. I'm not saying that if you're doing it to make money over having fun, that you're doing it wrong. I'm not. You're just doing it different than the way I do it. Now, I also take it pretty seriously, probably too seriously. And I was accused of that for a very long time until I got into the industry. Now, I think I'm more on the realm of someone that might not take it serious enough to some people. Now, I'm good enough to be writing in the Black Book. I'm good enough to where, you know, people join our Patreon and know they're going to get great advice from the Welsh and I. So, and people like Casey Bubba here. So, you know, I think I'm good. I'm good at it, and I'm good enough to kind of play both sides. But, you know, first and foremost, I want this to be an enjoyable experience for everybody, you know.
Yeah. And let me just reiterate again, because I don't want people to take it the wrong way. I have nothing against the NFBC. I think it's a great format. I'm going to go play in some satellites. There are like $50, $75 satellite leagues that the top three make money, and the winner of that league also gets entries into whatever your satellite's for. Like, it might get you into the online championship $350 next year, stuff like that. I'm going to play in some of those because it's not super expensive. It's still not cheap, but it's not like I'm going to break the bank. I can still have a lot of fun. The format is different, so I think it's a good way if you're new to the format to practice, because it will, the fab format of it, the different just way the leagues ran is different because there's no trading. There's a lot of interesting things there.
Well,
so it's nothing against the NFBC. I just want to reiterate that.
And I didn't, like, when I read something like that, to me, saying – you're more poking at the people that say if you don't play in the NFBC.
The holier than thou.
Right. It's more about those people than it is about the format. I don't think there's any difference between what you said than people liking two catchers versus one catcher or roto versus head-to-head. 100%. I don't think there's any difference in what you said and the people that don't like that stuff either. So
the soft America we live in now, and that's what took place. But and we talk about it almost every episode here of how much of a sarcastic a-hole I am on Twitter, and I love poking fun. And the fact people take this like that, like, there was some seriousness in it, but to think there was offensive and malice behind it, like, come on, people.
Right.
When have I ever been offensive and malice on Twitter? I will say it to your face. I will say it in a DM to you so you know it's directed to you, but I will never, ever, like, call someone out on Twitter unless you'd have to really do something bad for that to happen.
Right, exactly. So it's
Twitter, like, I'm not going to be a two-year-old and do it on that. Like, I'll just block you or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, people took your quote, and, you know, you start a discussion, which, you know, is great. I've never started a discussion that big, I can tell you that much. But it was
a busy day for the mentions. Let's put it that way.
I would love to, but I'm not allowed to play the NFBC because of my dumb state laws. So
we're back.
I'm more mad about, yeah, I mean, you know, talk about a narcissist. It's all about me. So, you know, I'm offended that I can't play blah, 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 blah. Me. And I don't know, man. It's I just thought it was interesting. You know, obviously Welsh noticed it before me because it was on Twitter. And then, you know, it's funny because your tweet led to Joe and Chris giving me crap about not being on Twitter enough. So I'm like, come on. And in the original recording of this too, of this hour, I think you might have jabbed me a little bit with that.
Hey, there's no proof of that.
There's no proof. That's very true.
Talk about the past.
If there was proof, we wouldn't be doing this hour right here. So,
okay.
Are you Mark McGuire? We're not here to talk about the past.
Not here to talk about the past.
What about we got a couple trade things going on in baseball right now, and the big one, and Welsh and I spoke on it a little bit, so I'll let you get your opinion in on this. Mookie Betts potentially going to the Padres. It's a weird trade to me because in my head, you know, Boston has always been the team to trade for the good players and trade away the prospects, and they would be on the reverse end here. There's obviously been a lot of rumors about Boston wanting to stay under the luxury tax, and you know, the owner came out here and said, that's not what we want to do. We want to win first before we're worried about money. But, you know, Mookie is on a 1-year deal. He's going to want a ton of money next year. So just I think this fits both narratives. For it fits financially and it fits to make your team better overall if you flip him now before the season starts. And, you know, San Diego is a team that's on the, you know, they're on the way up. So what did you think about this rumor deal?
I love it, actually, for many reasons. The Red Sox saying that they're not worried about money is baloney because they've already pretty much said they're not going to re-sign him. Right. So trade him. Get what you can get for him. We've seen this time and time again. And I think it's a great move because the Padres have assets that the Red Sox would love for this. The Padres will have money to bring Mookie back next year, potentially, if they feel like it. I actually, it was kind of weird. The day before these rumors came out, I was doing a deep dive on our a player outlook, which we do over at Roto Baller. If you click on the player link, every guy's written an outlook for a guy. And I wrote Will Myers up the other day, and I started looking at his. I looked at his stats, and I'm like, oh no, like it's gone down bad. Then look at Roster Resource, and he's platooning right now.
Right.
So I was like, oh no, because this used to be a guy Boggs where you could draft him late and get potential 20 homers, 20 steals.
Power speed.
Yeah. One of those golden gooses, and all of a sudden he's a platoon guy. I'm like, oh no. But then the rumor to Boston, which would free up playing time for Will Myers. So I was all excited about it. They have the prospects that could help out Boston. They have pitching and hitting prospects. I think there's a lot to like about this trade. It can be very, very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, do you think that there's any way if Mookie does get flipped to San Diego that he re-signs there?
There's always a chance. I'm never going to say no. I think they have the money. They have a lot of youth. I think he'd have fun with this young team. I think if they do well, it'll incentivize him to play more. So I think he's got a good chance to come back. He's definitely going to test the waters because he deserves to make a boatload of cash, like a stupid amount of money. But we've seen how the markets have been lately, and who knows how it'll actually play out. Like maybe the Giants do it. They got money. Like there's a lot of teams that could do it. If they want to, I think they have a good chance, but I'm not going to say they'll get him for sure.
You know, it's funny because we went the all about me angle earlier, and then the first team that Mookie's going to sign with, if it's not the Padres, is the Giants.
I was thinking about rebuilding teams with cash. Okay, we can't be the Diamondbacks every time you guys talk. You already got Bumgarner. You happy?
Yeah, we got. Well, all we do is spend like just over 100 mil every single year. It's never gonna be up to the luxury tax, but it's never going to go below 90, I think, until they hit the absolute reset button on it and end up moving to Henderson, Nevada or whatever. what about Nolan Arenado? Welsh and I talked about that a little bit, too. I'd love to hear your opinion on Arenado and his potential moving to St. Louis, which looks it just doesn't look like it's going to happen now. It looks like they're kind of at a stalemate in these talks between Colorado and St. Louis. The Welsh called me out for it earlier. I just don't like Arenado, and that's true. And I think it's nothing personal. It's more about Arenado being really good and being a Rocky and in the division and stuff. You might have some of that too because you're
it's
a Giants.
It's me, fan. Not you.
It's right, me, not right. You. It's definitely me, not you. Exactly. So he called me out on it, and he's right. I just don't like Arenado because I'm like, well, how are you going to blame the team for not spending money when they just gave you $35 a year, right? So I don't know. And it could have been talks behind the scenes. We're never going to know what that stuff is. But what do you think about a potential Arenado to St. Louis flip?
I think it's a great move for the Cardinals. I think part of the reason why it's going so slow right now is the Rockies have lost a lot of leverage of late. When that article came out and then Arenado made his comments, it's almost like the Rockies got to do something soon. He's worth a lot of money, owed a lot of money, but at the same time, he's going to there's opt-out clauses, so you might have to spend as much money. I think it's a good move to go to St. Louis. They have prospects to send back to Colorado if needed. I really liked the idea of going to Atlanta, but they went and signed Ozuna, and they could technically still go and get Arenado as well, and that would be a game changer for the NL East. Ooh. But in reality, I think it's the Cardinals or no one else unless something weird happens.
Right.
And I think they need to do it because, you know, on Friday, the Rockies gave Trevor Story a 2-year extension. So they're spending money, just probably not the money Arenado wanted to see spent.
Last thing to talk about, just because we've heard so many people talking about it, I want to hear your opinion before we go. We got about 2 minutes left in the show here. Derek Jeter. Coming one vote short of unanimous in the Hall of Fame, 99.7%. Do you even have an opinion? Do you care about this stuff?
I don't care that he wasn't unanimous. I've said it before. I said it on the last recording. I said it many times on Twitter. If he didn't play for the Yankees, he probably wouldn't be a Hall of Famer. If he played for the Royals, he would never have been what he was.
Is that because he wouldn't have played in the playoffs?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
And he probably wouldn't have played as many seasons. He probably wouldn't have got to 3,000 hits. There's a lot of – he was a mediocre defender. There's a lot – if Omar Vizquel plays on the Yankees, he could be Derek Jeter.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair enough. I mean, I just thought it was funny that one person, and then, you know, Ken Rosenthal's over there making excuses for whoever it was.
The excuses was BS.
Right. Well, maybe they knew he was going to get in and they wanted to save it for another person or whatever. Come on, man.
No.
Like, come on.
That ruins the integrity of the vote.
It does. And I mean, that's something that they probably need to fix.
There's a lot of things they need to fix about the Hall of Fame voting.
100%. I love the fact that the other Hall of Fames aren't nearly as stringent. Like Eli Manning's getting in the Hall of Fame, and then people hate that. They hate it. But he's a quarterback in the NFL that won two Super Bowls against Tom Brady. He's getting in. It doesn't really matter if you don't like it that he made a dumb face and threw a million interceptions. It just doesn't matter. It's just kind of like Derek Jeter. You know, it doesn't matter what you did on the field. It's more about postseason play at that point. But that's it. We got to go. We are wrapping it up here. That has been In This League on the Sports Grid for this week. Hopefully this all records and you will be able to hear it. Thank you, Casey, for sticking around for another segment, and we will be back next week to talk to y'all. Take it easy, everybody.